Good morning, Zion. I like that, yes. It is my humbled honor to come before you in this sacred preaching and sharing moment to offer a word of encouragement, edification, and empowerment as you begin this wonderful journey of thinking about what does it mean for to be an inclusive community? What does it mean to do good in a world that, again, has been so much suffering, particularly with our relationships with one another, within the church and within our community? I like to start with an opening prayer that comes from Howard Thurman in Meditations of the Heart. If you would join with me. Open unto me light for my darkness. Open unto me courage for my fear. Open unto me hope for my despair. Open unto me peace for my turmoil. Open unto me joy for my sorrow. Open unto me strength for my weakness. Open unto me wisdom for my confusion. Open unto me forgiveness for my sins. Open unto me tenderness for my toughness. Open unto me love for my hates. Open unto me thyself for myself. Lord, Lord, open unto me. Meditations of the Heart. Our text has already been read from Romans 12, 1 to 21. And our key verse as we're looking at this as well is, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to start out with a story that, again, dedicates this time to my mother, Ethel Miriam Zeger Pennell. And as a matter of fact, this church here, as I was driving up, I just felt a beautiful sense of the Holy Spirit. So this is a very special place, even before I came in. When I came into the doors, I said, wow, this church, the setup, the atmosphere is similar to my mother's home church in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, where she was born and raised, Good's Mennonite Church. And so this indeed is a special place. Just as a visual here, as I share with you this morning, in the middle, that's me, if you could tell. And on the side here is my grandmother, there with the covering and the blue dress, Anna E. Landis Zeger. Anna E. Landis Zeger. And she was born in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. She bore 14 children. And she became a mother to three. My grandfather, Paul Zeger, he was a widow and had three children already when they got married. So there were 17 children. My mother was number 10 of the 17 children. And there's my mother there, Ethel Miriam Zeger Pennell. On this side here, my grandmother on my father's side, Ruth Watkins Carter Pennell, born in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. And she went to the AME Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, there in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. My father here, Richard Wingate Pennell, he, again, was born in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, but he started as a youth to go to Linville Mennonite Church in Linville, or Newlandville, I should say, Mennonite Church in Newlandville, Pennsylvania. And he started going there to the Vacation Bible School as well. And he decided at a very young age to be baptized in the Mennonite Church as an African-American adolescent. Now, my grandmother, his mother, was not too excited about that. She, again, was born again and raised in a Jim Crow era as well. And the racial relationships were very estranged. And they She didn't really want her son to go to the Mennonite church, but she felt that he was happy. He found that he was excited about the peace theology, and he felt warm, welcoming spirit there at Newlandville Mennonite Church. And so he went there. Later on, he went to New York City in 1961 as a conscientious objector. And he decided again to go serve in the Mennonite Church. At that time, the Mennonite Church, 7th Avenue Mennonite Church, where I was born and raised in, it was planted there, and he became part of that church. And then later became the first African-American pastor licensed in Lancaster Mennonite Conference during that time. So in 1961, he became part of the Mennonite Church in New York City and came to Harlem. You can imagine what was happening in Harlem in 1961. My mother, she at a young age always felt a strong call to do missionary work, to do something different. Now, she was born in 1934 and raised in a very conservative Mennonite community. All of her sisters, they got married around 19 years old, became farmer's wife, raised children. But my mother, she had this prophetic imagination of what if she would go to another place where there were people that were different than her. I don't know where she got this from, but she felt she wanted to go somewhere where there were people of different cultures. And she would read the different Mennonite magazines that talked about mission work, particularly in Africa. And she wanted to be a missionary in Africa. She believed that she could transform self and society. She believed that she could make a difference in racial relationships, even at a young age. And so she would tell this to her mother, and her mother would smile and say, "Yes, that sounds good." And that's not, she would tell that to her father, and he would say, "That is not the plan for you. I do not support that." Well, she was in conflict. But she believed in her heart that God called her to do missionary work. And so she stayed home while her other sisters got married at young ages. And she, at the age of 30, when her younger sister got married at 19, she said, "Well, wait a minute. I want to do what I feel God called me to do." And so she went off to Washington, D.C., to Maryland, to become a nurse. Now, you have to understand, in the 1950s, especially for women, especially for conservative Mennonite women, this was counterculture. This was very different. Well, she went there, and she served in the community. And there she learned to be with people different than her, especially the African-American community. She tells this one story that as a nurse, at nighttime, the woman that were waiting to give birth, there were a white woman on one side of the hospital in Chevy, Maryland, and one and black woman on the other side. Well, she asked her head nurse, "Well, what do we do with the black woman on the other side? Who checks on them? I don't see any schedule for that to happen." And the head nurse said, "Oh, we don't check on the black woman on that side. They will be okay, and no one checks on them during the night." Well, my mother, again, feeling something different, feeling that God actually loves and cares for all people of all different backgrounds, she snuck over to the other side, and she went in and checked on all of the black women in there. And do you know what they said? "What are you doing here? No one checks on us." And some of them may be kind of suspicious, like my black grandmother. "Well, are you sure that you are showing kindness to us, even though society says that you should not?" And my mother said, "I am here to serve as a Christian as a nurse, as a woman of God, and I am checking on you because God cares about you. You see, she believed that through her relationship with God and through the gospel, through the words of Romans 12, that she can be transformed by the renewing of her mind. You see, in society, she was socialized in her family, good Christian Mennonite family, but she was to socialize to not cross barriers, to not cross cultures, to stay within your own culture. Well, somehow in her relationship with God, she felt a calling to do different, and she did. Not only did she do that, in that hospital in the D.C., Maryland area, well, she went to contact Eastern Mennonite Board of Missions, and she asked to be a missionary in Africa. Well, at that time, they didn't have any openings. However, they said to her, this is not a typical missionary example of working in Africa, going to serve in Africa. However, there is an African-American church that's being planted in New York City, in Harlem. Well, now this was really a stretch because not only was she thinking about going to an African-American community, but she was also then going to serve in the big city. And she was also socialized to think that the big city is a place of evil, a place of sin, a place where she was not supposed to be. Well, in 1962, my mother decided to go to Harlem and to serve in that church, at 7th Avenue Mennonite Church. There she met my father. Both of them coming from Pennsylvania, Lancaster County, two very different cultures, Coatesville and Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They would have never met there. But they met in Harlem, and they met under the theology of Anabaptist community, of following Jesus, the way of Christ, of, again, peace and justice. And there they found a home. There they met, they served God, and they worshiped. They had, of course, three children, including myself, in the heart of Harlem. In the heart of Harlem. My mother, 1934, born in Pennsylvania. In June 2019, I enrolled in a course at the Summer Peacebuilding Institute at the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding at Eastern Mennonite University in Harrisonburg, Virginia. The course was entitled Truth-Telling, Racial Healing, and Restorative Justice. On the first day of class on Monday, June 3rd, we did an experimental exercise called the river. And our instructors created a makeshift river with paper rocks placed in a river labeled truth and dignity, fear and shame and hope. And we were instructed to silently walk around the river and embody the experience in preparation to our field trip to the Richmond Slave Trail. I've lived in Richmond before, but I've never been to the slave trail along the James River. While I walked slowly around the makeshift rocks symbolizing these aspects of truth, telling, racial healing, and restorative justice, and suddenly I began to sweat profusely. My body was having an adverse reaction to this stimulated exercise. I felt a warm sensation pass through my body, and sweat was dripping down my face. I didn't know what was happening to me. Was I having a panic attack? I was so shocked and embarrassed, and I processed the legacy of slavery many times, so why was I having this psychosomatic response? Well, fast forward to the day of the field trip in Richmond, Virginia, Thursday, June 6th. I decided to drive down from Harrisonburg to Richmond on my own instead of traveling with the rest of the class. It was a warm, sunny day, and I arrived at the slave trail around 11 a.m., and I began walking solemnly along the trail, lost in my own thoughts, and I just reimagined the trauma of my ancestors' experience, and suddenly the phone rang, and it was my brother. And he said, "Mom's dead. Mom's dead." He had found her cold in her bedroom. We moved my mother down to Harrisonburg 10 months ago before she passed. It was hard to get out of Harlem, New York City. She moved down here. And now I understood that what my body was experiencing was in some ways just a sign of what was to come, that I would learn that my mother had passed while I was on the slave trail in Richmond, Virginia, doing the work of racial healing and justice. You see, my calling to this work of racial healing has to do with the work of my mother and my father, the work that they did in the 60s, in the 70s, throughout the Mennonite church. My mother and my father separated when I was 7 years old. They separated, and my father, for a time, had left the Mennonite church. It was very difficult for my mother during that time to raise 3 biracial children by herself on a part-time nurse's salary. Her family members, who did not want her to marry a black man, particularly my grandfather, he actually put in the will, if my mother marries a man of the caliber of Richard Wingate Pennell, that she would be disinherited, that she would be disowned from the will. She would not receive her inheritance. Well, surely my mother did marry him, and she was disowned from the will. But when my grandfather passed away, my conservative grandmother overturned the will and shocked everyone, because she said, children are an inheritance of the Lord, and my daughter will receive her inheritance. I believe that that gesture transformed not only my grandmother, my mother, myself, but also any society or the community that we have been a part of. Because my mother then received that, and she also believed in her calling, that she, although the marriage did not work at that time, did not last forever as she hoped, there was a calling, there was a seed that was planted within the family, in her and in myself. We see, when my mother, again, was separated from my father, only one person, one sister had came to the wedding, because everyone was banned from coming to the wedding in New York. They said, move back down to Pennsylvania, to Elizabethtown. We'll build you a house. We'll take care of you. And my mother decided not to do so, because she said, I was brought to New York City, to Harlem, not just for marriage, even though she believed that was part of her life trajectory, but because I was called to serve the African-American people, people that were different than me, and to transform self and society. And if I move my children down to that community, they may be treated as second-class citizens. They may receive things like different biases because they look different. And so she raised us in the Harlem community. While we had a wonderful ceremony, memorial service for my mother, of course, a homegoing service for my mother in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and also in New York City. But before we did that, another way that God was transforming self and society within the Zeger family, throughout the many years, not just my mother, although she was the first, other members of the Zeger family, remember, 17 children, each of them having about 5 or 6 children, and the generations go on, well, they started to have cross-cultural relationships. They started to go on mission trips. They started to have interracial marriages and adopting children from different places. My mother's heart was so glad to see that we were becoming a multicultural, not just church, but family as well. Family as well. For her 85th birthday, 4 months before she passed, the Spirit of the Lord put on my heart that we should have an 85th surprise birthday party. But not only just a party, but we should have the party in the home where she was once banned from. You see, this home now, this big mansion, if you will, or at that time, old farmhouse that was restored and now is a place called Moonstone Manor, where they have wonderful weddings at and things like that as well. We had the party there. They gave us special permission because she was a Zeger child and had a party there. And everyone from the Zeger family came back into this home to celebrate my mother, who again was once not allowed to come back into that home because she married a black man. Everyone was there and celebrated. We had a homecoming even before her homegoing. We had her service and in New York City, in Harlem, at Union Baptist Church. See, my mother's life not only crossed culture barriers, it also crossed different denominations as well. She was well known in the community as a servant of God, as a nurse, as, again, a friend. All of these women from Harlem came to the front, black women, and said, "This is our sister." And they sung for her, and they stood up for her. In 2019, even then, similar to some of our tensions of the 1960s, my mother had transformed not only herself in her own thinking of what God was calling her to do, God's perfect plan and will for her life, the mantle that she had on her life to help bridge cross-culture relationships. She had transformed the Harlem community. No longer were many of the black women and others in the Harlem community, when they would see a white person, say, "Oh, I don't trust," or maybe they mean me harm or they don't understand. Instead, they say, "I know Ethel, Miriam, Zeger Pinnell, a Mennonite from Pennsylvania who loves God and who loves all people. And I know her. She is my sister." Breaking down those barriers in cross-cultural relationships. And in our funeral service at Good's Mennonite Church, a place that looks very similar to here, people came, black people, Latina people, all different people came to this conservative Mennonite church in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, sat in the pews where you're sitting, stood up and sung the congregational hymns, and said, "This is our sister." Two communities coming together. This is the work of the church. This is the work and the calling of my mother. This is the calling on my life for myself as well. I believe that God can do more than we can think or imagine within our own culture. That as we seek God and ask God, "How can I be used?" We all have our lived experiences. We all have our cultures. We all have our families and our dynamics. But if we ask the question, "God, what is your calling for me? What is your perfect will for my life? And how can I be used in some way?" It may not be the same story as my mother or even my father, my grandmother's, or myself. But there's something that we can all do as our own thinking is renewed and transformed, and we can transform self and society. It is, again, when I think about what God is doing, I think about the words from Archbishop Desmond Tutu. who drew on this concept of Ubuntu, I am because we are. And he led the South Africa Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which helped South Africa reckon with its history of apartheid. He says, we have the ability as people to dig into our own human values, to go for the best of them in order to bring about healing and to bridge the gap. My prayer is for us now that we will look to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to overcome evil with good, to walk in the path of righteousness, and to transform self and society. I believe in the hope of love, community, peace, and justice for us all. May we be inspired to do the work that our soul must have and to go forth in God's name. Amen. Mm-hmm.